White Walker perpetuated offenses are considered especially heinous. In Westeros, four dedicated friends investigate and discuss these vicious episodes as members of an elite squad known as A Podcast Has No Name.
I want to thank you guys for tuning in. This is DJ Ambush of A Podcast Has No Name. I am joined by Ibrahim and Janelle as we discuss the latest Mortal Kombat film. The latest, because there's been so many, and I'm sure we're going to get many more, right? We're all expecting that. So, first off, how many times did you guys watch it?
Twice.
I just watched it the once. Purely for just a time thing. I definitely will be watching it again.
Okay. I think I watched it 2.5 times. I only say half because, like, the second time I watched it, I was barely paying attention. I just had it on in the background. So after consuming it as many times as we have, what's your overall feeling about the film? Just a brief summary.
A brief summary or a brief summary of my feelings?
Brief summary of your feelings.
I think they did maybe as good as they possibly could have done. There were no huge stars in this movie, so clearly the budget wasn't very, very big. Okay. It set us up for the next ones to come. I can tell you that I do not like the choice of Scorpion. I need my Scorpion to be a little bit more tormented than all. The man.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
Yeah.
E, what you got?
So, I didn't think it was a very good movie, but I loved it. Like, I had so much fun watching this movie. It made me want to yell at the screen a little bit for some of the choices they made and stuff. But I loved the casting. I loved that they leaned into the Mortal Kombat-ness of it. Mm. There were aspects of it that it's tough when you try to adapt a thing like this, right? Because you got to hit the notes from the games to make the fans of the games happy. Because ultimately, that's the biggest section of your audience, right? But I think there are also things that a movie has to do to be a successful movie. And I don't think it quite got the ladder down.
Okay. So, yeah, I enjoyed it. And there was a point, I think, when I realized I was taking it too seriously. And then I was like, wait a minute, now I'm not enjoying it the way I thought I would. And then I remembered, like, as it ended, I said, this feels just like the first Mortal Kombat movie I watched, where I was happy it existed, and then afterwards I was like, oh, that was a little cheesy.
It's funny, it made me think back to the original, and I think the original, for all of the punches that it pulls in terms of not going all the way on certain things, I think it was a better movie, just like from a structural standpoint and character motivations and things like that. Like, the only character that felt like they really had an arc in this movie was Sonya, because she wanted the dragon tattoo invitation thing and
I feel you,
but didn't want to get it the wrong way. And then, it sort of happened for her. But like Cole, the main character, there was really no arc there. Like, he was bad at fighting. And then he went and was on in Raiden's temple.
Right.
And then he went home, he got a skin shirt, and then he was great.
And then he was great.
I agree. I really was disappointed that Katana didn't spin. I was like, she did her move up in the air and she did the kick and then I swore she was gonna spin and I was gonna be so hyped. I was like, how are they going to do it? How is she going to spin? Oh my god, is it gonna be all VFX? Is it gonna be a stunt person and VFX? What's it gonna be like? And then she didn't spin and I was just like, oh no.
Nah. I will say this though. They spent, and you know what? And Janelle, maybe you could speak better to this, but for me, it felt like they spent some money on effects. Like, none of the effects looked cheesy to me. They didn't.
No, the effects did not look cheesy. They did a good job. I'm not sure if it's because they spent money or if it's because they just got a good company. Perfection doesn't necessarily mean it took a lot to spend the money on it. They did do good on the visual effects. I can agree to that. And yeah. They didn't do anything special with the visual effects, though. There wasn't anything that we haven't seen before or, like, any new technology. It was not, like, you know, it wasn't Avatar. Like, you know, oh, my right. God, they invented this new thing to do the Mortal Kombat. No, right. Not at all.
Right. Lighting always plays a huge factor with me when I'm looking at effects. Like, there's things you can get away with in the dark. Like, so... The lizard scene, I mean the reptile scene, that was the point of the movie when I was like, wait, what am I watching? Because
Well, it was a big, it marked like the first big tone shift, right?
Yes.
Because yeah. You start with you know, Hanzo Hisashi versus Bi-Han, right? And it's like that opening was fantastic. I was like, this is what I want out of a Mortal Kombat movie.
Yes.
Right? And then, you know, it sort of like maintains that, just, you know, they shift you to modern day and you meet Cole and stuff, and I'm like, oh, it's adorable, his little sister is his corner man, and
right
his mom looks a little young, but I'll roll with it. And then I realize oh no, that's his wife and his daughter. But you know, they kind of carried that, and then when Reptile shows up, it was just like, oh we're doing this, like they're going full on, you know, this is someone from another dimension.
Yeah, I was like, so now I feel like I'm watching a Ninja Turtles movie. Why did we do this with Reptile? And it like, so he went invisible, the acid spit. Because at first I was just like, okay, so now it's just a monster shows up. And then when those two things happened, I was like, oh shit, no, that's Reptile, and this is why. Okay. And at that point, I said, all right, you got to change your expectations. You got to change it. Because that opening fight scene when Scorpion dies, I did watch that. They released that as a 7-minute clip like a week ahead of time.
Right.
And I hadn't watched it until maybe like 2 days before the movie came out. But when I watched it, it was like, oh, shit. Oh, they're about to kill it. Okay. I'm really fucking with this.
Yeah. And that casting really got me excited, too. And yeah. And a friend of mine, shout out to Kara Mahorn, a.k.a. the Blurred Girl on Twitter. She... She got to do a set visit, and she was telling me that she interviewed Joe Taslim. I think she did the set visit for like Sci-Fi Wire or one of those big sites, and Nerdist maybe. And she said that she interviewed Joe Taslim, and he was like, I guess he's a huge Mortal Kombat fan. And he was like, if I'm going to do this movie, I'm playing Sub-Zero. Like, he loves
it. He did a good job, though.
Yeah.
Like, I was going to say, like, every character except Sub-Zero and Scorpion, the real Scorpion. What's his name? The actual man who plays that character. I've seen him in so many Kung Fu movies.
Yeah. I can't remember.
I love Kung Fu movies. Like
he's phenomenal. He's in The Last Samurai. He's in he's Wolverine.
He's dope.
He's in Endgame.
He was on Westworld.
He's incredible.
I know his name. It's driving me nuts. He's in a really great movie called The Twilight Samurai, too, which is like I think that came out in like early 2000s.
Okay.
Yeah, like I'm a Kung Fu movie person. Like I watch Kung Fu. That's what I do. And I'm telling you, like, every character in this movie, except Sub-Zero, the real Scorpion, who we shall get his name,
right,
got on my nerves at one point of the movie.
Hiroyuki Sanada is his name, by the way.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Hiroyuki Sanada. He's dope.
Yeah. So
he's
he's so dope. How would you guys compare this to the earlier films? Like, I feel like at some point I haven't seen all of them because there were like maybe like three other Mortal Kombat.
I've
seen them all.
Okay.
Yeah, there's Mortal Kombat and then there was Annihilation.
Okay, so I have.
But then there's also some cartoon ones. So the one that came out, the most recent one, the Scorpion. I can't remember what it's called.
It's like Scorpion's Revenge, I think. Something like that.
Yeah, 2 years ago or something. It was kind of like the first 7 minutes, but the full movie of it.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, and that was okay. I mean, but it was animated. You know what I mean? But and I agree, the first 7 minutes was so dope. I was like, oh my god, what are they going to do with the rest of it? Oh my god, this is amazing. But I had to remember to myself, this is for adults, but it's for the child in us all. So like, of course, some of the, you know, the jokes are going to be corny and it's going to be a little bit overly done, like Kano's jokes. It was after a while, I'm like, all right, Kano, like, shut up.
You know what I mean? Yo, Kato was killing it. Little one-liners here and there, the shit he was saying under his breath. I'm like, you got chill,
bro. Sonya, like, she gave me very Karen-ish vibes at first. You know what I mean? And then they were like, you don't belong here. And then she just kind of shut up. And I was like, yes. And then after that, I felt a little bit sorry for her. And I started to realize and look at her as the underdog. So
yeah,
that was kind of dope. You know what I mean? To that point,
it did kind of irritate me. I'm like, this is a movie, this is a world where interdimensional travel is possible, and we have spent nearly a third of this movie in a single wide in fucking Mesa, Arizona. You know what I mean? Like, why are we in a trailer right now? Why? Yeah. This is Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, I do wish we would have seen more of Outworld. I do wish we'd have seen more of that side and any other spot than just, you know, everything we're used to seeing on Earth Realm. So having seen some of the previous films and then the trailers and everything, what were the expectations coming into this though?
I thought they were going to do something a little different. And they did to a degree where they didn't make it about the tournament. They made it about trying to rig the election before the election happened. You know what I mean? So yes. On that level, I was like, okay, you know what? That's a cool take on this.
Yeah.
But given that opening sequence, right? I thought that they might lean more into like the sort of backstory lore of it. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think it would have been really dope. If you're not going to do like the main tournament, show us one from like, make it a period piece. Show us a Mortal Kombat from the generation previous, right? Because that's the thing. It's once a generation, right?
Right.
Which I don't understand how Kung Lao being like 25 was like the winner of the last one. Because, you know, as they said, like Kung Lao won the last tournament.
Oh, but they did say it was his ancestor. Like
okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Also, yeah. In my understanding is once you get that tattoo, you become a certain type of immortal, just supernatural period, where
true.
You don't necessarily do things like the rest of us. You don't even age like the rest of us. I mean, like, clearly, like, even Jax, like, when he got his arms, once he got his mojo or his, you know what I'm saying? I forgot what they called it.
I think it was Akama.
Akama, when you got your power, yeah. It was almost like his arms changed.
Right.
You know what I mean? I feel like I don't even think about that type of stuff. I didn't even think about the tournament necessarily, because I was more so focused on this is just the beginning. So if we know how these few characters got their Makana, right, and their tattoo, right, then anytime we see any other character at all, we're going to know exactly how they got those things.
Interesting. Okay, so I definitely didn't think about it like that. I didn't look at this as an origin story of sorts, because I looked at Cole as joining something that was already existing and characters we already knew. And I was surprised that we didn't get the actual tournament in this one. And I do love that angle of them being like, because we get a tournament every single time, right?
Yeah.
Changing it, this, you know, taking that little departure from the normal storyline was dope. I definitely appreciated that. But I didn't really look at it as an origin story for everyone. And I guess I should have, because we got that. We definitely got that.
And I think one of the mistakes that the movie made was that they gave us Cole as like a new character.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can make him the viewer's eyes and intro into the world while still making him like a character from the games.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that making him this weird kind of like skin shirt Tonfa guy, like, kind of pulls you out of it, you know, because you're going like, that doesn't really seem like a, you know what I mean? Whereas if they had made him like Rain or Ermac or Kenshi or what, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like it would serve the same purpose, but it would feel a little bit more in line with the lore, I think. But aside from that, like, oh, so go ahead, Janelle.
No, I'm so sorry. I was going to say, like, I feel like a lot of the characters in the game don't translate to like literal dialogue in human world. Like, you know, we could watch the game, we could read the stories and all of that. But in the real world, like as a human being, like not coming in and not knowing anything, just imagine somebody who's like, I'm not a gamer. I just know about Mortal Kombat, right? And that's literally the only game that I will play, believe it or not.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I believe
it. Yeah. So, so imagine me not being a gamer. Imagine me not really knowing anything about Mortal Kombat except like Dayugan and like somebody's spine getting ripped out of their head, out of their back. Me not knowing anything, you need a cold. You know what I'm saying?
I agree. Yeah.
Okay.
I just think you can do it without it being skin shirt guy. You know what I mean?
Like, skin shirt guy. So like my boyfriend was telling me that in the newer Mortal Kombat, there's different versions of Scorpion. Mm-hmm. So I was just kind of looking at him at that as that after a while. I was like,
I thought he was gonna be Yeah, I thought it would be like a legacy thing, right? Like he's the new Scorpion or something. And they didn't do that either.
Junior.
Yeah.
I mean, when he told me that, I was like, okay, yeah. You know, if there's different versions of Scorpion, I can get it. But I definitely do not accept him as a new version of Scorpion. He is not tormented nor tortured enough. He did not go to hell.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I think that if, you know, if he's part of his lineage, right, and they made a whole thing about the, you know, the baby being saved and the ancestors and stuff, like, right. Like, then why not follow that through and make Cole like the new Scorpion? You know, he summons the spirit of Scorpion or something, because he ended up doing that. But it's like it almost turned into this MacGuffin where, you know, this kind of Deus Ex Machina where he used like the magic gardening tool and summon, like, you know, like what? Now, I will say a lot of these movies really feel this propensity to give us an origin story for like the little things, right? Which I tend to enjoy. Like, I thought it was cool when Liu Kang takes Kung Lao's sash and puts it around his head, and you go like, that's how he gets the bandana in this movie, right? That's cool. Right. And you know, ninja were like mountain farmers, like historically. So I think it's dope, you know, and it falls in line with like the idea of ninja that they use whatever to hand as a weapon, right? Or that their things serve a dual purpose. So I thought that was dope. But yeah, it didn't really feel like it was landing for me when it was just like, you know, I feel like they did a lot of work to introduce these sort of ambiguous, like weird rules. Like, you have a tattoo, but it's a birthmark for him, but they don't really get into that. Or like, oh, you just have to draw your own blood with this gardening spade, and then now you have your demon vengeance
coming out of that
show up. Yeah, yeah, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I think maybe trying to give reasoning for a lot of this stuff made it like a more difficult task when they could have just like not tried to explain away all of it and just like, you know what, this guy can shoot fireballs. He's a Shaolin monk.
Right.
You know, that's all you need.
So you did say that one of the games, this was one of the few games that you played, you know. When playing, who was your favorite character? Well, anyone, who was your favorite character when playing?
I was always Liu Kang.
Okay.
And so Liu Kang and Sub-Zero were my two favorites, and I really loved Liu Kang in this movie. Like, I thought Liu Dilin played the character extremely well. I like the take on him. I like he's kind of that, like, tortured, like, feels the burden of this weight of what he's supposed to be. Right. But he's all still very, like, formal and, you know. So I really dug that, and seeing him and Kung Lao together on screen was dope every second that it happened for me.
Okay, so, and again, real quick, because I think I might have missed it. When you played the game, who was your favorite? You said
Liu Kang.
Liu Kang. Okay. So yeah. Now, who was your character you played with in the game?
When I play, shoot, man, look, that's how much I don't play. What's the guy's name that spins with the electric coming out? The one that
Raiden.
I play Raven a lot. I play Katana.
Okay.
I play those two a lot. That's it mostly. I mean, I play everyone, but I play those two a lot.
Okay, so, yeah. And then who was your favorite in the film? In this most recent film, who was your favorite character?
Definitely a favorite character in the film. I don't think I had one. Probably Sub-Zero. To be honest, no, it's probably Sub-Zero. Like, he did the best. Like, yeah. He was like, you know, he, every time you saw him on the screen, I'm like, what's he about to do?
Yeah.
What's he gonna do?
Facts.
Oh, he's like, you know, what type of dirty shit is he up to right now?
Right.
Whose kids are he gonna kill today? He had no mercy. He's like, fuck them kids. Fuck you.
Real shit.
I'm gonna fuck with your whole life and your whole family, and for real, I don't even have a reason.
Right.
See, and to that point, I wish we got a reason. I wish there was something in the opening 7 minutes where it was like they just mentioned that they were rival clans, or that, you know, for some reason they have this thing, because you never find out why. Not even at the end.
I feel like there's so much room for the explanation of things, though, like, because it set us up for a sequel and another one and maybe another one. I think there's supposed to be two more of it, if I'm not mistaken.
I would like that.
Because this set us up, I feel like there's so much space for that. There's a space for Cole to have a conversation with Scorpion. Like, what, you know, who, you're my ancestor. Oh shit, who's the little girl that was taken from your house? Is that your daughter? Because he said she. I was like, oh, Raven said she. He said, I took her. I'm like, oh, it was a her. Was she dope as hell too? Like, where's she at? Like, does she have the, is Cole's daughter going to get the little tattoo? Like, I'm like in my head about a lot of this stuff.
I hope they do that. And I hope, you know, one of my complaints about movies that opt for that kind of thing is, like, I feel like that's what happened with Man of Steel. Like, we were told, oh, well, he's going to learn that he shouldn't kill. He's going to learn what the path of the toll of the destruction will be in the next movie. It's like, but you might not get a next movie. Give it to me in this one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we got a next movie, and it got bogarted by Batman. So it's like, we never got that. And then in Justice League, he's dead the whole time. So it's like, I think that movies should be setting up and resolving these things, you know, as they're doing it. But Ambush, we didn't hear who your favorite character was.
Right. So from gameplay, definitely Sub-Zero and Scorpion. Easily Sub-Zero and Scorpion.
Yeah.
In the film, I'm going to go, it's hard. I want to say Kung Lao.
He was great.
Because that, he had the best moment of the entire film.
him and Liu Kang and Sub-Zero, those are the ones that stood out for me for sure.
Yeah, but
you're talking about the fatality, right?
That fatality,
it was wild.
That was just like, okay, and this is what we're here for. This is what we've all shown
I
up
can see
for.
That, yeah. Yeah, like, I can definitely see that.
Yeah, and he really represented the spirit of the game and just what you felt like once you got into the storyline and you were just like, oh, nah, we got to do this, like, Kung Lao just, it really came across screen that way. I do love backstory, Scorpion and Sub-Zero's backstory, which made me want to lean more towards Scorpion, but I didn't get enough of Scorpion in this film for him to be my
I agree.
So
I feel like there's room. I feel like there's room. I feel like if you know anything about Mortal Kombat, you know who Sub-Zero is, you know who Scorpion is. Mm-hmm. There's some of the people who you just know who they are. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I definitely feel like they're like, look, we got you. We're going to get to that. You know what I'm saying? Of course, they did kind of like focus on a lot of the American
characters,
characters like, you know, Sonya and Jax.
Which makes sense, though, right? Because like you said earlier, a lot of the characters we played with don't even speak English. They're monsters from another realm. So
now, is it Cabal the one that was friends with Kano? Who's the guy?
Cabal. Yeah,
I did not expect him to be like an American.
When Cabal shows up and he's like, "Hey, what are you doing over here? I'm walking here." Oh, I was like, "What?"
that completely.
Kano, you and me, we going down to 42nd Street. We're gonna get some hot dogs. Like, that was wild.
Yeah, chopped cheese. Like, wait, what? What's going on right now?
I really like that. I really like that at the ending when they go get Johnny Cage. I'm like, oh shit, here we go. A new story. Here's
like, you already know any mention of Johnny Cage is like, oh, here comes the fuckery.
Yep, exactly. I kind of am sad that I know I keep talking about Katana. I'm kind of sad she's gone because I feel like she was kind of epic, you know what I'm saying? Like, I want to see some more of her. Like,
oh, well, so that was Melina, but
Melina,
Katana,
right?
Katana's,
I'm sorry,
Melina.
Yeah,
Katana's her twin, though. So hopefully, we do get more. And that was actually another thing I noticed about this movie. I felt like I mean, it is Mortal Kombat, right? People have to die.
Right.
But there were characters that were like, I thought they were going to be a bigger deal, and they were just kind of like, oh, that's it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like,
yeah,
like Melina dying, I was like, whoa, okay, I guess, all right. You know,
that's, I'm so sorry. I'm like, so I'm, that's what I mean, but I'm not all the way into it. She's the one who I wanted to see spin. She's right. The one who, like, oh, when she, right. You know, when she did her move up top, when, you know, she does the kick up top, and
yeah,
I'm like, oh shit, she's about to spin, and I'm like, and she doesn't spin, and then when she's going, I'm like, oh shit, but she died epically.
Yeah,
her moment before she died was dope as hell when her mouth opened up double size. I was like, oh shit, she's about to kill it, and then it's like, damn, sword through the head. I'm like, oh.
So I gave my favorite moment already, which was Kung Lao's fatality. What were your favorite moments?
Pretty sure it was that fight with Melina, only because I really did want her to spin. Even though she didn't, I was just like kind of super glued to the TV. The very first 7 minutes, I mean, like, honestly, I did think that we were going to see another movie, and watching that, and it had me completely captivated, which is exactly what it was supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? So
kudos to them for releasing it early to do that to us.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie to you. Like, there's as cheesy as I think Sonya is, and even Kano, like, their fight was kind of dope. It was very, very raw. It was a human fight. Like, it wasn't a whole lot of she had to trick him a little bit in order to win, and she had to fight dirty, and she had to scrap that. She had to scrap me, and I was like, okay, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
I love the Liu Kang versus Cabal scene, simply because he was my favorite character growing up, and like getting to see a bicycle kick and the dragon fatality, like that was crazy. But I also loved the fight scene between Sub-Zero and Jax. Like the way he lost his arm was so brutal, and just really like
that part,
and like really anytime Sub-Zero was on screen, it was so dope. Like, I love how things got cold around him, and when he brought all the ice in the air and threw it down, like this movie really utilized him as a formidable character, which I really enjoyed, because we didn't get that in the previous iterations.
No, you're right.
But I feel like the actor himself, Joe Towson. He offered himself up to be that though.
Yeah.
Especially when you're telling me that he loves Mortal Kombat. I mean, didn't he play two characters?
Just like the two versions of
Sub-Zero to two Sub-Zero versions.
Yeah.
The Sub-Zero before, which I want to know how he got like that before. Like,
how'd you get the ability?
Right.
You already were freezing people. Or freezing things, even if it was small things, you know.
Well, I think that was his Akama, right?
That was his Akama that got passed.
And then, and then I think like at some point, because his eyes were all blue when he's in the ninja getup, so I think some kind of thing happened. Yeah, because remember, like in the end when he dies, like Shang Tsung says something like, "Death is not the end," or
just
a
portal. So we're gonna get him back. Maybe as a noob, he comes back as noob Saibot.
Yeah, or maybe just another version of Scorpion. Maybe the one or Sub Zero, the one with the stripe on his eye. You know, who was his brother in the games? But
I'm down for that.
I'm down with that. Shang Tsung is another interesting part of this movie because he didn't do much, and then there was no like foundation for his taking of souls. Like
it was just, this is what I do, right?
And then so he just takes Kung Lao's soul, and they're kind of like, no, don't, like, nobody really, like, bro, throw a fireball at him. That's your cousin. What are you doing?
Help your cousin,
there's this video meme that is on Instagram, and it's guys like, he's like, this is what I had a problem with on Mortal Kombat, and it's like Shang Tsung taking. Kung Lao's soul, and Kevin Hart going, "Help me!" And then it goes back to the soul snatching, and it's Kevin Hart like, "Help me!"
Yeah, like, because Cole was holding back Liu Kang, and I was like, "Why?" Like,
no.
yeah,
yeah.
Go find him.
But you still can throw a ball, though. You can still throw a fireball. Yeah. Nobody has to be holding you back for you to reach that arm out and throw that fireball.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, he threw a fireball at Kano's, like, on sight. Like, it was just like, I'm not your enemy. Like, well, really? Because my friends don't throw fireballs.
Yeah, right?
So, I want to go back to that that fight scene with Jax and Sub-Zero, because it leads into the next topic, which is Easter eggs. So I was checking out, I think it was Eric Voss's video, New Rock Stars, and he pointed out that in graffiti behind Jax on the wall was the code for, I think, one of Sub-Zero's fight moves. It was like LB.
Oh my god! Like, that's in,
like they're putting there's so much shit in there that I can't wait to watch it. So that was dope to have that behind Jax. But one of the things that caught me the first time I watched it was Liu Kang and Kano's fight, and Liu Kang kept doing the leg sweep, and I started rolling. I said, "That is why, honestly, that's one of the reasons I hated Liu Kang." Because in that game, when they chose him, that's all the fuck they did was the leg sweep. So for him to do it three times in a row, I was like, okay. That was dope. Y'all killed it. That was really tight.
That was really great. You know, it's funny.
You guys make me gonna go watch it again.
I know, right? My older sister would, I could get her to play me in Mortal Kombat, and she would always be Melina, and she'd do that cheap ass teleport move, or she'd do that roll constantly, and I'd be like, "Stop it! You're not even trying to play it. I'm trying to do a bicycle kick, trying to charge up with low kick for 3 seconds so I can do a bicycle kick." You know.
Meanwhile, she's fucking spinning the shit out of you.
Right. But then they even had Kano say, "Is that your only move?" And I was like, "Oh my god, he's quoting us. This is ridiculous." So like that type of fan service. Yeah, you have to. That type of fan service really helped me like center my experience a lot better. Like, no, this is what it's supposed to be. This is, guys, it's a movie based on a video game.
Yeah, but the video game is a movie in itself, though.
Right, especially nowadays. Especially nowadays. Yeah. So I watched I'm trying to think if it was before or after. No, I hadn't watched it yet. But somehow the movie came up. Oh, we watched the first trailer, me and my youngest, my 15-year-old. And she was like, this is gory. And I was like, oh, you have no experience. You don't. Let me show you the first. Let me show you what this looked like.
This is gory. Oh, yeah. Wow.
So I pulled up this video.
She's 15, by the way.
Right? Pulled up this video, and it was Scorpion from the first version of Mortal Kombat through all the games. So we just kept watching him progress and how the graphics changed and the fatalities and all that shit. And you remember the first one. The graphics, it was 16-bit. Was the best we could get at the time. The blood was like,
yeah,
you know. And I was telling him, like, yo, when this came out, this was the goriest shit we'd ever experienced. Like, this is crazy. And she was like, it looks really bad. I was like, well, listen, this is what we had. This two-dimensional crap.
I'll never forget the first time I played that. That I was 9 years old. I was at my neighbor's house on a Sega. And it changed. I mean, literally, like, my life was Mortal Kombat for the next, like, 3 years. Like, that's all I cared about. Easy. I drew it all the time. I was memorizing the moves on a Nintendo controller so that one day when I could get a platform that had the game, I'd be locked and loaded, ready to go.
Right.
Yeah.
I just remember so much. I remember people in class get in a fight, next thing you know somebody's like, oh, Dioga. And I'm like, yo, like, this is crazy. Like, and speaking of gory, man, I realized that our generation, we are actually kind of like savagey. Like, when you look at our dance moves based in our music and our everything compared to the generation now, they're so lily white flowers and fair, and
yes,
everyone deserves a chance. And
they're very chill. Yes,
they're very much chill, and more chill than us. I'm like, we look like savages compared to them,
right? They're out here like
their feelings.
They're out here like, be my friend on Animal Crossing. Yeah. Like, oh, I just mined I just made a chicken coop in Minecraft. And I'm like, I pulled his heart out through his fucking.
Yeah. Exactly. Yep. There you go.
Right.
There you go. Like, even just simply, like, I mean, it's crazy. So even when you think about the old blood, just the splatter alone and the fact that it had a sound effect.
Right. Right.
And actually, you know what? That was the thing in the opening sequence when Scorpion is just like, you know, what would look like a superficial, you know, wound is like just like blood gushing out of it. I was like,
yeah,
they're doing Mortal Kombat. Like that's
they're doing it. Right? Yeah.
That was the first hint to me.
I turned to my boyfriend and I was like, so, you know, the heart's on the other side. So he really just kind of punctured the lung. And he just looked at me like,
he stabbed a dude at the, on the
heart's
top of
the
head.
Other side. Yes.
Right.
And they just went like a, like a, like a chocolate fountain or like, you know,
like fondue.
Yeah.
But even like, when Scorpion himself died, he got stabbed on the other side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He got stabbed over here when the heart is over here and the lungs are down here. And I'm like, and my boyfriend's like, what is wrong with you? And I'm like, I mean,
I was,
you know,
wondering that. I was
that's
like,
called
is
a
there
technical advisor, you know?
I was thinking, like, is there an artery in the shoulder there or something? Because he got it, like, right here and was just like, I'm done.
In real life, in real life, because we are crazy, but in real life, getting stabbed up that many times, bleeding out alone is a thing.
Right.
On top of that, a knife wound in real life is way more dangerous than a gunshot. And because gunshots go barreling in and out, or just go, once they stop, they stop. But a knife wound, you have no idea how wide it is, how deep it is. Like it's kind of crazy in real life, though. In real life, we are just savage, and we are like, we want to see more. I want to see someone's head explode. If it doesn't explode, you are not dead.
Another to the point of Scorpion dying in the beginning, like his body just gets kind of swallowed up by smoke or whatever, and then but it's like, why did that happen to him specifically? Like,
right,
you know what I mean? Because a lot of people die in this movie and they don't go,
that doesn't happen to him.
Yeah, right. So that's the thing about it. It's like it opened a lot of, like, it introduced a lot of threads that I feel like it didn't tie off.
Okay.
And so maybe we'll get that in subsequent movies, but there's no promise of that. So it's kind of like, how do we know that they didn't just...
I'm a weirdo. You know. And I'm an actual scorpion in real life. Like a Scorpio, sorry. Uh-huh. And in my head, Scorpio was not dead. And he willed himself to hell. because so that he could heal.
So he could
but
come
he
back.
Was also tortured. Yes. He could heal. So he willed himself to hell. And he also is a tortured soul. So the only place for him to go was to hell.
Okay.
So that he can be as mad as he needed to be to carry his lineage on.
This is where he was supposed to turn out. What would you guys like to see in the upcoming sequels? Because I did hear whisperings of sequels. And it, I mean, of course, they set it up. You know, they're going after Johnny Cage at the end of this one. So they, if they get 2 and 3 greenlit, and maybe the budget increases, what would you guys like to see in the next films?
Well, I think they're in a good place where they've introduced the world to us now. And now we can just go to Outworld. We can check out the tournament in full. Mm. You know what I mean? They're not going to have to do a lot of explanation. I mean, it'd be nice if they did, because I think they left a lot open-ended. But I think, you know, I would love to see more of the, like, traditional fights in terms of, like, some of the locations. They did do a bit of that, like when Jax fought that big hammer guy, who I'm not familiar with. I don't know if he's from one of the...
I'm not familiar with him at all.
Yeah, he might have been in, like, Mortal Kombat 7 or something that I didn't play. But that was on that bridge from Mortal Kombat 2.
And when he got hit, and, like, he even did the whole dizzy thing.
Yeah.
Right before Jax smashed his head.
Oh, my God, I remember that. That was so dope. Okay, like... One thing that I would like to see is, I think that, I know that y'all are going to kill me, but I think that part two should not have the actual, it should not have the actual tournament. I liked how they made their own tournament by Raiden, like, sending everybody to where they need to go, and they just, like, fight on the spot. It's on site, and they're going to do a tournament style, right? So that way we got to see the different tournaments in different settings, the same way you do in the actual game, which I think is dope. So I don't think they should do the actual tournament on this one. I think they should just introduce more characters. More characters die. And I think that on the third one, it should be an epic ass tournament. Epic as hell. And I definitely think that both Sub-Zero and Scorpion should come back for that.
So I can rock with them doing the full tournament in the third one if In the second one, we're getting more backstories. We're getting more origin stories. Yeah. We're getting more character development.
Maybe more origin stories for the actual tournament.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that there's so many places to go with it.
I'm telling you, I would love like I was saying, like almost like a period piece. Like, yeah. Show us the tournament from the past.
Right.
You know, right. Like, I think that would have been the way to see the story for the present day, you know, Bi-Han assassinates Scorpion ahead of the tournament because he knows that he's like a very formidable fighter who stands to win it. And so then Scorpion goes to hell, gets imbued with the Scorpion, you know, fire breathing powers or whatever, comes back and fights in the tournament despite having them trying to rig it against him, right? I feel like that could have been a successful first movie with him sort of making allies along the way, you know.
I need Cole to get a little bit more of an edge to him. I need us to see him a little more tortured. Maybe he becomes Scorpion. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't even really like his wife was kind of the one who beat Goro because she drove a truck into him. Like,
I feel like Cole served his purpose, and I'm okay with him either going away or evolving now. He needs to
evolve. You know, and I think
that his daughter needs to be like the shit.
Yeah, part of it for me is I really like Louis Tan, and I was really excited to see him in a lead role. Like, I think he deserves it. I think he's been passed over for a lot of stuff in the past, and you know, I just don't think they did enough with him. Maybe like I think Cole was kind of half baked.
Okay.
Also, man, what you got? Prince Goro, Prince of Outworld, and he dude shows up in a shed,
bruh,
tripping over push mowers and rakes and shit, trying to fight this dude in his, his driveway,
and got took out quick, fast, like yeah. In and out. But,
you know, I also think that's part of the reason why I need Cole to evolve is because he's like halfway there. You know what I'm saying? Mm. I would also like to see, and I know I'm tripping on this, Donnie Yen, Tony Jaa, Ippo. What's his name? Ippo. He does like Salah. He does former Kung Fu is Salah. He did Raid Redemption and
okay.
He's so dope, man. I would like to see some of them in this. I need to see my guys. Like
we're talking a bigger budget. We're talking better things.
it's already successful enough where they can go up a little bit.
Agreed.
A little bit.
Agreed. All right, so it's time to score it. Let's give it an overall rating on the scale of 1 to 4.
Ooh.
Where you at, Eve?
Ooh, I'm going to do it on a scale of 7.
Okay.
That's all right. I'm going to give it a 5 out of 7.
Okay.
The reason I picked 7 is because I think you got to have that extra in the middle. Because if you do on a scale of 10 and you give it like a 7, then I'm telling you that's a C-. And I don't think this movie was a C-. You know what I mean?
I feel you. Janelle.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Maybe a 4.5 out of 7.
Okay.
I think it was good enough. I think that it's setting us up for some more stuff. I think that when you're setting yourself up for more stuff, if you think about all the good movies that were setting you up for something, they're very simple. You know, I'd give it a 4.5 out of 7.
I would give it a 5.5 because once I realized what I was watching, it was better than I expected, and it honestly makes me want to go back and watch Annihilation and the first one. It makes me want to go back and watch. It makes me. I have Mortal Kombat 11 on my PS4, and I downloaded it because it came out and because I felt like it's Mortal Kombat. Why wouldn't I? And I hadn't played it. I played it maybe 4 days, and that was it. Now I want to go play the game.
Yeah. So, I got to get that one too.
So they did their job. They made me
I'm gonna watch go it back again and play tonight. The game.
They did their job.
I'm going to watch it again tonight. I'm going to look for the code, and I'm going to look and see if there's more.
There's got to be more. The fact they did the code means there's so much more that we're missing. Yeah. But that code was dope.
You could definitely tell that there was a lot of love and reverence for the franchise and the source material that went into this movie. And I think all of the people And one of the biggest shout out I can give this movie is that every actor embodied the character that they played. Like everybody was who they were supposed to be, and they did it really well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There was nobody like, it doesn't feel like so-and-so. Like they all felt like who they were.
Right.
And I think that's hard to do when like most people don't know these games for the lore and the cutscenes. They know it from playing their friend at an arcade in 1994 or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think it was definitely successful in what it was trying to do. And you know, it's just the storyteller in me wanted like a little bit more mortar between the bricks, you know.
So because I agree with you on, you know, wanting more, agree with both of you, this makes me want to make sure I'm more educated on what the actual stories were. So now when I watch that animated joint, you know what I'm saying, I'm gonna start playing the games again and watching the cutscenes and start playing in story mode and just get more familiar. Because yeah, like that dude with the hammer, I'm like, I don't know what you're from. I don't care enough about you. But anything.
I don't think he was from any of the. I really don't. I watched like a year ago or so. I watched like a very comprehensive thing on YouTube where this guy walked you through the entire history of the franchise, every game, all the storylines. I'll try to find it and send you the link. It was really, it was a fun watch and it was like very informative because I played the hell out of the first three games and then I didn't have an N64, so I couldn't play four. And then I kind of got lost in the shuffle. Then when DC versus Mortal Kombat came out, I was just like, whoa, someone reached inside of my dreams and like pulled out the thing, you know, and that kind of got me back into it. But I'm excited for, I got to pick up 11 too and just,
I guess I'm gonna get more educated and all of that. I know my boyfriend is geeking out, man. He's like, oh shit, this is such a... I bet you that's this person. I bet you that's that. And I was looking at him like,
weirdo.
Because I'm a nerd in my own right, but he was definitely like, I think I had said something and he just like, it was like the wrong thing. He just looked at me like I had like, and I was just like, okay then. Like, I'm like, now you know how I feel when we watch a movie and the lighting's off.
Oh man, thank you guys so much. This was dope as
hell. Thank you.
Let's make sure we jump back in here again. For, at least, you know, maybe when the other ones come out. Huh?
Yeah, oh, definitely. I wanna help you guys with all. I wanna help you guys review all the movies where there's action and goriness and people get shot and stabbed and killed, bust up in the head and all that. So I don't know why I'm a girl and that is my type of movie.
You want all the stabby bloody stuff? All right.
All the stabby bloody stuff. All the fights. The fights. I all the fights.
All right. Now, thank you guys for listening and checking us out. We'll catch you on the next one.
Take care.
Oh, www.countcomic.com.
Boom, boom, boom. Hey. Book is hard, y'all. Love that book.
Hey. All right. All right,
bye-bye. Hey, you're still here. That's what's up. Thanks for listening. We really appreciate every single listen we get. Be sure to subscribe and follow us on all social media. You can listen to us on the platform of your choice. We are there. And if you're so inclined, please rate the show and write a review. We appreciate all types of feedback from any of our listeners. All right, catch you on the next one. Peace.